buy or sell today on the Thursday edition of Fantasy Baseball Today. We'll see if Heath can follow directions and not make it true-false. I have my doubts. I'm Adam Azer with Heath Cummings and Chris Towers. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R, at Heath Cummings Sr., Heath Cummings SR, and at C Towers CBS. Also, Scott is at CBS Scott White. Buy or sell, yesterday was the most action-packed, event-filled, baseball-iest day of the year.
Sell.
Oh, you said sell.
I don't know. I didn't watch a ton of baseball yesterday.
I watched enough, but man, you had some double dongers. You had closer news. You've got...
Don't you dare go any further without saying Jason Vargas.
You've got Vargas. You've got Amir Garrett striking out 12 Orioles. Kyle Hendricks' velocity. Dallas Keuchel being great again. I mean, this was some day. And if all of you listeners out there, you have to listen to the entire show. If you don't listen to the entire show, we're going to be very upset with you because it is a very important show. So
all of that baseball, and you still had time to besmirch the name of Fuller House.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Did everybody out there know that Heath actually liked the show Fuller House? Did everybody?
You don't need to put a past tense on that. I still like it.
Yeah, well, that's a bad thing. All right, buy or sell. Let's do buy or sell part one. And these are some from me, some from the listeners. We'll have more later in the show. Buy or sell, Aaron Judge. I've been trying to get this going on Twitter. It's not working. Aaron Judge will soon be called Hank Aaron Judge.
Sell.
Hard sell.
Okay. But, you know, he's pretty good where so far. Would you rather have Aaron Judge or Corey Dickerson?
Judge.
All right, buy or sell. Trevor Rosenthal will be the Cardinals' closer within a month.
Sell.
Well, I think, you know, Senguano's had a couple of bad weeks, and Trevor Rosenthal's never looked shaky for any amount of time within the last 2 weeks, so... I think you have to sell it. You obviously sell it. It's still Trevor Rosenthal. Come on.
All right, it's Trevor Rosenthal, but let's just discuss what Trevor Rosenthal is doing and what happened yesterday, because he got the save. Senwano was unavailable. And O's been struggling a little bit, and his O's velocity is down. Is that correct?
I think it's down a tick.
Okay. Rosenthal, meanwhile, is throwing 98 regularly, getting up to 100 miles per hour. And he's throwing a lot of strikes. He's throwing, as of now, 72% strikes, which won't last, but that's the best he's ever done. And he hasn't walked a batter, and that's been the reason that Rosenthal's been bad in the past, is his walks have just been crazy. But this is a guy with 245 save seasons, and if he's got his control figured out, then he's going to be a better pitcher than Senwano, in my opinion.
Here's the thing.
I don't see any reason to believe that, like, if he just magically fixed his control, he's going to be a better pitcher. Like, because that requires two different assumptions that both have to be correct. That requires Trevor Rosenthal has dramatically improved. Because the 45 saves, that's not like he saved 45 games because he's so good.
Do you remember how good he was?
He saved 45 games because he was on a good team. He had one really good year and one kind of okay year.
These were Trevor Rosenthal's ERAs in three seasons in which he pitched 68 or more innings. 263, 320, 210.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good pitcher.
Kind of.
He had two really good years and one year.
And really, he had one year where he had a 1.1 whip.
Yeah.
With the, what was it, 2.60 ERA?
Yeah,
2.63. The 3.20 ERA, he had a 1.41 whip. The 2.10 ERA, he had a 1.27 whip.
So what I'll say about Rosenthal, if you're in NL only, he should be owned. If you're in a roto league and you're going with the reliever-heavy strategy, he's a guy that I would add.
All right.
He has a negative 1.28 FIP.
That's really good.
That is very good. And
so he's
zero
scoring
ERA.
Runs with how well he's pitching right now.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's a 270 ERA. He gave up a run. Okay, so you guys aren't buying into Rosenthal yet. Justin Wilson or Alex Wilson will be the Detroit closer within a month, buy or sell?
Sell.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, K-Rod did what he does. He got into a jam. He had the bases loaded. Should have gotten out of it with an inning-ending, game-winning double play. But Iglesias tripped over second base, threw the ball away, two runs scored, and the Tigers lost, and Rodriguez blew the save. But there are big velocity concerns there, right?
He has lost about a mile and a half per hour on his fastball.
Okay, yeah, that's not good, but you're still selling that. Justin Wilson, by the way, has been great this year. He is a lefty, so I don't know if that would have any effect on that. But okay, I'm just giving everybody some names to consider if you're desperate for a closer. So, buy or sell from Kevin. JT Realmuto finishes as a top three catcher.
Sell.
Okay, where do you see Realmuto finishing?
I think I have him seventh, sixth. He will be in the second half of the top 10 catchers.
I have him in right around the same range.
And it's worth noting that when Prado's been in the lineup, he has not been batting second. Realmuto has not been batting second. So that hurts a little bit. Eric Callison, buy or sell, Amir Garrett finishes with a 3.5 ERA and 175 strikeouts.
Sell. There's no way I'm getting that specific with my predictions.
You know, someone on Twitter sent us an angry tweet saying that he dropped Amir Garrett for Jarrell Cotton because of us.
What?
Was that you guys? Because I don't remember ever saying to do that. That doesn't sound like something I would have said.
No, I don't think so.
I would guess it was probably Adam. He views Cotton as the fabric of his life.
I was making a pretty big stink over Amir Garrett after his last start. And that was, I don't remember, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but that was a very good one at Pittsburgh. And
yeah, I thought we've been pretty pretty pro Amir Garrett.
I'm going to say he finishes with between a 3.5 and a 4 and between 150 and 175 strikeouts, and he's useful throughout the season.
Really going out on a limb there.
I mean, look, if he's a 3.8 ERA guy, just saying, with 170 strikeouts, I don't really think that's that useful. I'm hoping.
I'm not saying
better.
He's going to be must start all year, but there will be times throughout the year, like right now, when he's must start next week.
Well, I think that depends. Do we think he's getting 170 strikeouts because he's throwing 150 innings, or do we think he's getting 170 strikeouts because he's throwing 200 innings?
Somewhere between 150 and 200.
Can Garrett, we just move on? Heath is just the worst.
Garrett is a two-star pitcher next week. And
must start.
Yeah, and must add if you haven't already. He's 87% owned. Would you rather have Amir Garrett or Luis Severino?
I think I would probably go with Severino.
Yeah, I think I would too. I definitely would in a points league.
Right, because Severino can be used as a relief pitcher. Do you
And that kind of that might just be a bias towards the guy who throws harder.
Yeah, Garrett does not throw all that hard. He's kind of like a 92-mile-per-hour guy, but he is a lefty with a kind of deceiving motion, and he had a great curveball yesterday. He throws a good changeup, and he said that both those pitches were working for him. I mentioned it last time. If Garrett's changeup is not working, it seems like he'll be vulnerable to being hit around, but we haven't seen it so far.
There's also a lot of whiffs available in that Orioles lineup.
Yeah, but there's a lot of righties in that lineup. Chris Davis might have been the only lefty in the lineup yesterday. I think Garrett is going to be really tough against lefties, but he faced some tough righties, Machado, Mark Trumbo, and Trey Mancini, who led off, and he did a great job. So we'll see where this goes, but that was exceptional. Now, when you look at Garrett and Severino, and general question here, sometimes if I'm going with a tiebreaker, forget about the RP eligibility, let's just say Roto League or whatever, I will lean toward National League. How much of an impact is that for you?
If I believe two pitchers are exactly the same and their situations are the same, I agree with you.
Yeah. But you would think the Yankees are a better team. So there's more opportunities for wins there, better bullpen. So that could be a tiebreaker the other way. On the other hand, Luis Severino is someone who is, it's not unfair to expect him to have home run issues. That could be an issue in the old Yankee Park.
Yeah. All right, well, look, it's exciting. I watched Garrett last night. He looks pretty good. I'm happy to own him right now. Buy or sell, the Cardinals have the best jerseys in baseball.
Sell.
Ooh.
Man, those birds with the bat.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Sometimes they wear, like, the throwback, like, cream-colored uniform. That might be the best uniform in baseball.
I knew Heath was going to sell that. Buy or sell from Daniel Cunningham. Actually, he says true or false. Matt
best
Harvey.
Best fans in baseball, for sure.
Best what in baseball?
Best fans.
Oh, yeah. Oh, much better than Kansas City. Matt Harvey, top 25 starting pitcher. True or false, buy or sell?
Sell.
Really? Man, right. Like...
Is this the first time you've heard me talk about Matt Harvey in the last 6 months?
No, I don't know why I acted surprised. I just have a hard time finding like 25 pitchers I feel confident in, I guess. I want to see who's 25th in your rankings.
You feel confident in Harvey?
I feel pretty confident in him. I think he's doing really well and only going to get better, only going to gain velocity.
I do think he's off to a better start than I expected, and I have moved him up in my rankings after each start, I believe, and I have him right around 30th, so it's not that far off. It's well within the range of possibilities, but if I have to bet on it, I'm selling.
Okay, yeah. That's like 25th for Heath is Felix Hernandez, 25th for Chris is Jose Quintana. And I think we could all see Harvey being better or worse than those guys.
Yep.
Yeah.
Better or worse. Hot takes.
But you know what I mean. Like,
there is a non-zero chance that he will be better or worse.
We are non-zero chance.
I've been somewhat encouraged by the results. I still think the process is not super promising.
Dave Hartman, buy or sell. Batting third, Mookie Betts will steal less than 15 bases. He has zero attempts, by the way, in 10 games.
Buy.
Sell.
The one reason I kind of think that is this is a team that talked about moving Xander Bogaerts down to sixth so he feels free to run. So they clearly are conscious of who is at the plate when you're running.
Betts stole 26 bases last year. To project him for less than 15 would be significant. I mean, he'd still be a great player, but it would mean that if you had Mookie Betts and he didn't steal 15 bases, then you've got to consider getting steals somewhere else.
And to be fair, he started 12 games batting third last season, did not attempt to steal in those games. Now, he stole 8 bases in 36 games when he was batting fourth, so I don't know how.
Well, that would make sense, because it was the difference between Poppy being at the plate and Hanley being at the plate.
I guess. But now Hanley's at the plate and not Poppy.
So you'd think he'd run.
I also will say that, so no attempts for Betts in 10 games. Last year he had a 17-game stretch and a 13-game stretch without a stolen base attempt.
He finally struck out.
Yeah, he did strike out, but he was also incredibly efficient. He stole 26 out of 30 last year. So, all right. So, buy or sell less than 20, Chris?
I think that's a little more reasonable. I could buy that.
Okay. All right, guys, big news. Cody Glover and Sean Kelly are going to split save chances.
Ooh.
Who do you prefer? Terrible. Who do you prefer in the Nationals bullpen?
Okay, so we were talking about this in the office yesterday, and it's like, I think everybody agrees, outside of the Nationals organization at least, that Sean Kelly is the better pitcher. But at every turn where it seemed like Sean Kelly should just be the closer, they have waffled and gone with someone else or hinted very strongly, like nudge, nudge, wink, wink, that he's not going to be the closer. And it's just like, there's clearly something here that we're missing.
It's the injury thing. They don't want to, they're worried about his workload. He's had injuries.
I don't believe you get more heavily worked as a closer than you do as an eighth inning guy.
I guess the idea would be that, like, if you're using your closer in a quote unquote traditional manner, you have to have them available for certain opportunities. Whereas if it's not, you can just choose to use them or not. This is the dumb thing about the save stat.
Sure. Or maybe Sean Kelly will get most of the chances, but won't pitch. It will probably never pitch 3 games in a row. And maybe they'll be a little hesitant on back to backs. He did pitch back to backs several times last year. I don't know. I'm not sure that we can predict how this is going to turn out, but I think they're both worth owning.
I will predict that one of them will be better than the other and get most of the save chances.
All right. They both got to be on. I was very surprised.
You're here today.
I was very surprised that I got Cody Glover for $2 in our Roto League yesterday. Nobody seemed that interested. Maybe I'm just a better fantasy owner than everybody. I don't know. That's probably what it is. Bye. Carlos Correa is still day-to-day. Alex Bregman is one appearance away from being shortstop eligible. Would that be a bigger deal than Anthony Rizzo being second base eligible?
Not at all.
No.
What? Really?
Alex Bregman's not going to be the number one shortstop. Anthony Rizzo very well could be the number one second baseman.
Yeah, but shortstop is so bad.
Shortstop is bad. It would be nice to have the extra flexibility. He would be, I don't know, I'd rank him somewhere between 6th and 8th probably.
Would you rather have Bregman or VR if Bregman becomes
Bregman
eligible?
I'd rather have VR.
Okay. Travis d'Arnaud left with a wrist contusion. He got it by throwing to second base, and his follow-through hit the bat of the Phillies batter. I don't remember who it was. It might have been Franco. I don't know. Might have been Altair. Lucas Duda left with a hyperextended elbow. So, I don't know. Move Jay Bruce to first.
That would make sense.
And, of course, Jay Bruce had hip issues in the spring because he was playing first base, so that'll be something to keep an eye on.
Just put Michael Conforto at first.
Sure. Get that bat in the lineup somewhere. I don't care.
I think it was Wilmer Flores who came in yesterday.
Even better.
Was there a lefty on the mound?
Well, it was later in the game, and no, I don't think there was. Okay. So Flores came in and played first base yesterday. Carlos Gonzalez left after being hit by a pitch on the hand. X-rays were negative. And the St. Louis Cardinals swept Pittsburgh. Here are two weird things here. The Cardinals swept the Pirates. All three games were 2-1. And every Pirates series, I heard this on the Reds broadcast yesterday, every Pirates series thus far has been a sweep. They've either swept or been swept. Very strange. Here's a new segment, brand new segment called Thames Watch. Eric Thames drew 3 walks and scored a run yesterday. He now has 8 walks to 11 strikeouts. And this has been Thames Watch. I'm Adam Azer.
Did you see John Lackey kind of implied that Eric Thames might be on steroids?
No.
That was really great, yeah. He was doing his press conference after the game the other day, and he said, you know, you see him hitting the ball to parts of the park where people usually don't. I think there might be something going on there. And then he kind of like winked.
Wow.
A jerk.
Yeah, that's not a very nice thing to say. I'm going to sign off with my name for every Thames watch, just so you know. No, kind of old-fashioned there. All right, Wednesday standouts. Let's talk about Kyle Hendricks. And then we'll talk about Amir Garrett. Well, we talked about Garrett. We'll talk about Vargas, Keuchel, launch angle guys, lineup stuff. But Kyle Hendricks, velocity's down. He says it's mechanical. Joe Maddon says because his velocity is down, there's not enough distinction between the fastball and the changeup. But Hendricks gave up 4 runs and struck out 2 Brewers and a career-high 4 walks, and he has a 6.19 earned run average. All right, how worried are we here about Kyle Hendricks?
I mean, you face a lineup that has Eric Thames, Ryan Braun, and Travis Shaw in it.
That's a great point.
I don't know what you're expecting.
They're pretty good.
This was kind of the thing with Kyle Hendricks coming into the season, is that as good as he's been, or as good as he was last year, I guess, because he is someone who relies so much on pinpoint control and can't overpower hitters, there might be a very slim difference between the really good version of Kyle Hendricks and the not so good version of Kyle Hendricks. It's a little how I felt about Aaron Nola, is that like at some point you can get away with it, but you're not that far from being really hittable.
I kind of feel the same way about him that I do obviously about Porcello. I don't think that Kyle Hendricks is going to be bad this year, but he's not going to be close to as good as he was last year.
If he's lost 2 miles per hour on his fastball, which is where he's at right now, according to PitchFX, that's pretty huge.
Yeah, it's a big deal. He's already a soft thrower. He's not even a 90-mile-per-hour fastball guy.
He was like bottom 5 among starters in velocity last year.
Yeah, he now has the 4th slowest fastball in baseball, I think, if you don't include R.A. Dickey and Stephen Wright.
Yeah.
And... Well. Would you rather have Hendricks or Paxton?
Paxton,
yeah. But that's been the case for me for a while.
Would you rather have Hendricks or Keuchel?
I've gone back and forth.
I will probably be moving Keuchel over Hendricks.
I think Hendricks is a good buy low. I got a text this morning from a buddy of mine who's in a 10-team league, and he said Kyle Hendricks was dropped. And he said, who should I pick up, Luis Severino or Kyle Hendricks? And it's like, if that's the way people are viewing Kyle Hendricks, then he's definitely a buy low candidate. Like, you have to pick up Hendricks in that case. And you can't,
oh, if he's dropped, absolutely.
And you can't put a guy like Severino ahead of him. You can't put a guy like Amir Garrett ahead of Kyle Hendricks, in my opinion.
No. I would offer either of those two guys.
I'm really struggling with Severino versus Hendricks. I would probably go with Hendricks, but yeah, I don't know. I'm really struggling with it.
I mean, a pitcher has to prove that he can throw
a
lot of innings, not even 200. Like, Severino needs to show that he can throw 120 innings in the majors and be good. He hasn't come close to that, so that wouldn't be a struggle for me. I would do that trade instantly.
Oh, in a heartbeat.
Okay, would you rather have, let's say, Lance McCullers or Kyle Hendricks?
McCullers.
Really?
And I think that was the case before this season.
Oh, interesting. Well, you gotta update your rankings, Chris.
Maybe.
Okay. Felix Hernandez or Kyle Hendricks?
Felix.
That one's a little closer. I might go Hendricks there.
I'm definitely going to put out some offers for Kyle Hendricks. People are really down on him, it seems. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Severino Garrett's a good place to start. Maybe see if you could deal Gio Gonzalez for him.
I'm going to offer Francisco Liriano for Kyle Hendricks.
That's a great idea.
And Liriano had a good start yesterday.
That was impressive because the Red Sox have not struck out this year.
He struck out, what, 6 5⅓?
Yeah.
And he only pitched 5⅓ because he gave up a couple singles with one out in the sixth inning and Liriano got lifted. But Liriano is like 72-ish% owned something. You probably want to get him on your team. Other standouts? How about Jason Vargas? How is this happening? 7 scoreless innings with 9 strikeouts, no walks. He now has a .44 ERA, 2 walks, 23 strikeouts, and 20 2/3. And, you know, his last 2 starts, I think, have been against San Francisco and Houston. Neither team strikes out much. Houston actually has the 3rd fewest strikeouts in baseball right now. Heath, what the hell? Jason Vargas.
I sent a similar text to Chris late last night.
I believe it had
different language.
Different language.
But
a bit more coarse, not quite as podcast friendly.
Like, he's not throwing the ball harder. He's throwing his changeup and getting a lot of whiffs on it. Like, you said 29%, Chris?
Yeah, the second highest whiff rate in baseball tied with Hyunjin Ryu, actually, for the highest whiff rate.
I don't believe that you can succeed this way. I mean, you can succeed. I guess what I would say is, I don't think Jason Vargas is a brand new pitcher that's going to strike out 10 batters per 9. But he's 10% of the way through his season with a 0.44 ERA. The odds are much greater that Jason Vargas is going to have a career year. And I checked to make sure he was owned everywhere last night.
Really?
He got 2 starts against the Twins and the White Sox next week.
Oh, yeah. Must
100%. Year,
yeah. Now, let's be fair. The Twins have been much better offensively than we thought. But the White Sox are just dreadful. So.
Yeah, the Twins aren't.
Just got to hope Byron Buxton's in the lineup. Get those 4 strikeouts.
Okay. I mean, look, Vargas has been like a 370 ERA guy. He's been a big fly ball pitcher who's been in good parks.
But that's the other thing. He's got a 53% ground ball rate his first 3 starts.
Yeah.
So he's getting a ton of ground balls and striking a ton of hitters out when he's never done either in his career.
It's really weird.
It's great.
Yeah. And he was good, by the way, in 12 innings last year after coming back from Tommy John, 2.25 ERA. All right. Would you rather have Vargas or Triggs?
Vargas and Roto, Triggs and points.
Okay. The other stand that I was going to bring up was Josh Reddick. Do you think Josh Reddick is under-owned at 29%?
Absolutely.
Chris?
Sure.
Yeah?
Sure.
Yeah, I think, especially with him moving into Bregman's spot in the lineup and hitting second for a majority of the time, if that lasts all year, I thought he was a sleeper coming into the year, but a sleeper in the sense of he needs to be owned. Not we're going to be using him a lot, but if he gets to hit second in that lineup, he's going to be valuable, especially in points leagues.
Yeah, Reddick is going to sit sometimes against lefties, so that will limit his value, but that doesn't mean he shouldn't be owned in more than 29% of leagues. Here's your stat of the day. It's from ESPN. Stat of the day, Dallas Keuchel has begun the season with 4 straight starts of 7 innings and 1 run or fewer. Pitchers who start out that hot tend to be able to maintain it for a full season. Keuchel is the 7th to have that good of a run to begin a season within the past 25 years. Of the previous 6, 5 of them finished in the top 7 in their league in ERA. So, based on ESPN stat, based on history in the last 25 years, Dallas Keuchel is very, very likely to be a top 7 ERA guy in the American League. But I want more than that, guys. I said sub-3 ERA. I said he was going to finish the year with a sub-3 ERA. I still believe it. Now, I definitely feel like you could maybe sell high on him, but if I'm going to sell high on Dallas Keuchel, it's going to be bona fide ace top 10 pitcher because
Jason Vargas.
Here's the interesting thing. He has basically just stopped throwing the ball in the strike zone.
He's down in the zone consistently. It's really amazing
just
to watch.
Not in the zone. He's at 31.5% of his pitches inside the strike zone, according to PitchFX. That is ludicrously low. Fangraphs had an article yesterday comparing him to Brad Ziegler. That's an interesting comparison because it definitely feels like you can get away doing that when you're like sidearm reliever. It's an interesting test case in whether you can do that as a starter for a full season without having like massive swing and miss stuff like Francisco Liriano.
I've lowered my season-long Dallas Keuchel ERA projection to 3.3 over or under.
You know, I'm
not from here on out before the season.
I would go under.
Okay.
He's going to have a good year.
I think just like a start ago, we both agreed he was a mid-3 ERA guy.
Yeah, but now he's got, you know,
right,
12% of his season with a 0.96, so.
Yeah, and Keuchel has, he has not faced the toughest competition. He's faced Seattle, Kansas City, at Oakland, home against Los Angeles. I think he's always been better at home, and he's had 3 of 4 starts at home. 3 of the 4 teams that Keuchel has faced are in the bottom 9 in runs scored. So I definitely see why you would say, oh, sell high on Keuchel. I mean, 0.96 ERA, he's stranding a ton of runners. It's obviously his luck's going to change a little bit, but yeah, I just don't think it's like fluky. I don't think he's going to have a bad year. I think Keuchel's going to be like definitely a top. I'd be shocked if he's not a top 20 pitcher.
I don't know. That's a good place to put the over under. I would probably still go over, but that means under because it'd be higher than 20, but lower in the ranking.
You're right. I am really bad today.
By the way, in this game, AJ Hinch used Ken Giles in the 8th inning against the best hitters in the order. And then he was not a save situation after that, so he went with Will Harris. But Hinch is sticking to that. He's not going to just use Giles in the 9th. He's going to use him when he best sees fit. Hey, listen.
That's probably a good sign, right? Given Giles' struggles so far?
Yes, he has faith in him. Yeah. Right. But more importantly, have you guys used the SeatGeek app and our promo code? Have you used it yet? Our SeatGeek promo code, by the way, that is FANTASY. That'll save you $20 on your first purchase. So, are you a SeatGeek user yet? If not, what are you waiting for? This is the only place I go for tickets now, and it's baseball season, so there are so many events to go to, and summer's coming up. It's going to be concert season, and I'm being forced to take my fiancé to a Broadway show, so I can use SeatGeek for all of these things. And with the promo code FANTASY, you can get $20 back after your first SeatGeek purchase, so that's pretty cool. With the SeatGeek app, I can be anywhere, and I'm just a few taps away from finding seats. I've used SeatGeek so many times now because it price compares for me by searching multiple ticket sites, gives me the best value, saves me time, saves me money. Again, to get $20 off your first purchase, download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code FANTASY. That's promo code FANTASY for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. And I need about 10 SeatGeek apps and promo codes before I can really afford Book of Mormon tickets. So, man, Broadway's expensive, Chris.
Yeah. My wife and I have tried to go to see Hamilton, and it's really hard.
Yeah. I thought you saw it.
No. I had tickets, and it fell apart. It was very sad.
Like, sorry to hear that.
Is it not on Netflix?
Not quite.
The whole thing about Netflix last night was that I tweeted, if Heath is looking for something worse than Fuller House, he should try, what's the name of the show? Something Wexler? Or the movie? The new Adam Sandler movie. I can't. How? Why? Who's letting this happen?
He signed like an 8-picture deal with them.
Sandy Wexler, it's called. Stop.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
You have told me nothing about the quality of the film because most things are worse than Fuller House.
Dude, what is it that you liked about Fuller House? That show was brutal.
What could you not like?
What? Please name one thing you liked about Fuller House. There was not one funny joke.
I enjoy the acting of Candace Cameron.
I enjoy the appearance of Stephanie. That is the only thing I enjoyed about.
Stephanie is a great redemption story. And they make some inside jokes about that. Child actors are just phenomenal. Bob Saget looks great.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Uncle Jesse's still cool.
They're in one episode. All right.
It's probably not in like the top 15 Netflix shows, I would guess.
D or 15? It's not in the top 1,500 Netflix shows. It's time for the launch angle alert. Ryan Zimmerman, 66% owned. He is killing it. He's batting .380 with four home runs, three walks, 11 strikeouts. And Yonder Alonso, 6% owned. He is the number 17 first baseman in points leagues, number 13 in Roto. So maybe Alonso could have a good enough season where he's corner infield relevant for you. He does sit against lefties, though. And, yeah, I mean, Alonso has not been a good player. Five straight seasons slugging under .400, but off to a good start. Well, now he is. I mean, yesterday he wasn't, but now he homered. So anyway, buying career revivals from Ryan Zimmerman and Yonder Alonso?
I was talking about Ryan Zimmerman as someone that I liked before the season. He's gotten off to a hot start. That's great. I look smart. I would love to sell him because he's actually not really increased his launch angle all that much. He's increased it a little bit. He was at 9.5 degrees last season. He's at 11.4 so far. His average exit velocity is actually down. And he said he's not actually trying to hit the ball in the air anymore.
He just says he's healthy. That's the thing. Zimmerman said, yeah, none of that stuff matters as much as the fact that I'm finally healthy.
I think that is true to an extent, but at some point he will probably not be healthy given his track record. And I would like to sell Ryan Zimmerman if I can.
One other launch angle update, Adam. Trevor Story has reached the hallowed ground of a 70% fly ball rate for the year. So,
well, when you've only put like what, 8 balls in play, that's, you know,
70% fly ball rate.
By the way, I'm not sure that Yonder Alonso has changed his launch angle. I just know Chris had mentioned he wanted
has.
To do it.
Okay. Yeah, his launch angle's up to 20%, which is really high. I don't know if it's that encouraging, like mixed league, but it's something to keep an eye on.
All right, and the thing is, like, you say you want to sell Ryan Zimmerman. I get that, but he's only 66% owned, so I think there's, at the same time you could want to sell Ryan Zimmerman, you could also want to add Ryan Zimmerman, because I was totally skeptical. I dismissed it last week, and I'm definitely looking at it thinking, all right, maybe I'm wrong about this. Maybe he can have a good season. Maybe he can stay healthy at first base like Hanley Ramirez did. Not that he hasn't played first base before.
There's just so many first and third basemen. It's hard to get him in the top 40. Of your first third base, your corner infield rankings.
Well, I drop Gurriel for him, even though Gurriel is, I guess, heating up a little bit. Would you?
I don't think I probably would.
No? Okay. That's interesting. All right, well, if I'm playing the hot hand, you know.
I mean, I might. I don't know. I'm not excited about picking up Ryan Zimmerman.
Would you drop Ryan Healy, who's been slumping for Ryan Zimmerman?
Sure.
That's kind of feel like that's a sell low, buy high type thing, but. And didn't Zimmerman just have a good game yesterday?
You mean Healy?
Or Healy, yeah.
Yeah, he did. But they crushed Martin Perez. Like, even Yonder Alonso had a good game yesterday, you know? okay. Well, that's your launch angle. I'm going to call it the launch angle report, not the launch angle alert. I'm Adam Azer. Injuries, news, and notes. Gene Segura is expected back on Tuesday. Logan Forsythe is on the DL with a broken toe. Gregory Polanco, and it's not going to be like a 4 to 6 weeks thing. They're thinking more like 2 or 3 weeks for Forsythe. Because I love Gregory Polanco so much, I want you all to know he was robbed of probably a 3-run triple by Matt Carpenter. Beautiful play by Carpenter. Good game. Chase Headley and Starlin Castro both homered. Do you care about the hot starts of Headley and Castro?
I care a little more about Castro. I added him in a roto league. Might play him at middle infield next week.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't care all that much.
Castro got off to a huge start last year, too. But there's just... Do you guys buy or sell? There's just some Yankee magic this year.
They are definitely have the best chance currently of winning the podcast league standings of our favorite teams. But I would still pick them to finish third.
Third? Yeah, third. I guess they're probably going to be better than Toronto.
No, not in the East. In the standings of our favorite team.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, I think I'd probably take the Yankees over the Marlins.
That's interesting. I feel like The Braves are probably going to finish last. I'm sorry, Scott. But
we all agree with that.
The other three teams.
I don't know if Scott does.
Marlins, Royals, Yankees, I would expect to be very close in the standings.
It's going
to
be a good race down the stretch.
the race to 78.
And none will make the playoffs. Matt Garza is close to returning for Milwaukee. Jason Worth left with a groin injury. Didi Gregorius will begin a rehab assignment on Friday. Devin Mesoraco should be back soon, and Matt Kemp could be back today. All right, some lineup stuff for you. Adam Frazier was not in the lineup yesterday in the post-Starling Marte. Well, I guess I shouldn't say post. He's coming back. Without Marte, instead it was Josh Bell at first, John Jaso in right. And Josh Bell homered, right? Yeah.
Yep.
And Josh Harrison led off. So there's that lineup thing. Jock Peterson sat against a lefty, and he was dropped for Aaron Judge in our podcast league. Approve the move, yes or no?
I can't really disapprove.
Nope. Aaron Judge is everything that we were hoping Jock Peterson could be.
Dude, Jake...
he doesn't even strike out.
Jake from KC was all about the hot hands yesterday. He dropped Peterson for Judge. He dropped Mike Leake for Brett Anderson. That's probably a two-star pitcher thing. He dropped Adrian Gonzalez for Corey Dickerson. And he dropped Andrew Triggs for Miguel Gonzalez in a points league. Interesting. Interesting.
He's doing pretty well in that league, right?
I don't know. I don't know, but I made a huge mistake in that league that you haven't called me out for yet. And I have to figure out how to fix it.
Good. What did you do?
See if you can find it. I'm going to give you the next 5 minutes to see if you can discover the gigantic mistake that I, the commissioner, made in the podcast league.
Nothing that I enjoy doing more.
It's honestly, I'm embarrassed. It's
good.
Pathetic.
I will be, you guys just talk amongst yourselves.
Trey Mancini, 36% owned, led off at Cincinnati. He went 1-for-4 with a strikeout. But bad news potentially for Mancini. It does not appear that Seth Smith is guaranteed to go on the DL. They're holding off on that for now. Also, it was a lefty, so we'll see what happens with a righty on the mound. Chris, Jose Martinez, star of spring training for the Cardinals. He stayed in the lineup. He played for Grichuk yesterday with Carpenter back in at first base. But Martinez is batting .450. Do you think they're going to try to give Martinez enough at-bats to be even NL-only relevant?
They just have so many guys. Like, they've been playing Matt Adams out in the outfield. I don't know if there's enough opportunity there for him.
Okay, that's Jose Martinez. Not yet, but, you know, maybe something to monitor. And Kyle Schwarber finally sat. But he did enter the game as a pinch hitter and went 0-for-2. I got two guys who are off to good starts. Tell me if you think they are top 10 outfielders. We did not rank them as such going into the year. They were closer to 20. But Christian Yelich already has 4 home runs and 2 steals and 2 attempts. And K-Riss Davis of the A's, Chris with a K, is batting .321 with 7 home runs, which is tied with Eric Thames for the most in baseball. And I think George Springer as well. So he's off to a great start. And Davis was the number 18 outfielder in points, number 11 in Roto last year. Do you think Yelich and Chris Davis are top 10 outfielders?
Probably not. But I think they're both in the 15 to 20 range for sure.
Good number twos.
All right. You would not take either of them over AJ Pollock?
No. I would still rather have AJ Pollock.
I do think it's very encouraging what Chris Davis is doing just in case you had your doubts, you know, like
he's good. He has always hit the ball hard. He always hits the ball in the air. He is a legitimate power source.
It's the batting average that will probably, you know, it's still going to come down, but it could be a liability. You know, he's batting .321. Chris Davis batted .247 last year and did not hit over .278 in any month last year. So maybe he'll, I don't know. Could Chris Davis hit .280? Would you be surprised if Chris Davis hit .280?
It's within the realm of possibility, but I'm not expecting it.
Yeah, I'd still be surprised.
I'll say this. If Chris Davis hits .280, I'm pretty sure he's going to be a top 10 outfielder this year. Double dongs. You find the error yet?
No, I don't see what it is.
What division are you in?
We have divisions?
Yeah, what division are you in? Go ahead and take a look.
Okay. Have you found it, Chris?
No. I have not been looking.
Just go ahead and check which division you're in.
Okay, I'm going to the standings page.
Double dongs report. 3 players hit 2 home runs yesterday. Bryce Harper, who is the number one hitter in fantasy baseball, take that, Eric Thames. Dexter Fowler hit his first two. He's batting 183, but he got on the board yesterday, two home runs. And Jay Bruce, number four outfielder in points leagues, number nine in Roto. How about seven walks to nine strikeouts for Jay Bruce? He is locked in, batting 309 with six home runs, despite being 2-for-17 against lefties. Anything to say about Harper, Fowler, or Bruce?
Bryce Harper's great.
I found it. What did you do?
I don't know. I put.
I am in the peeps division. So is Chris. Well, so is what?
Oh, this is the
yes.
Okay.
So is Scotch, and so are several other owners because there are seven teams in the peeps division, and in Adam's Mountain Dew division, there's only five teams.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened, but I gotta make
does
it six.
Does this like
six.
Determine playoff spots?
Yeah, it's supposed to. The division winners are supposed to get. I got to make it 6-by-6, and I went to do that, and it said, like, you can't do that without altering standings or something, so I don't know what the hell to do.
I declare shenanigans.
So you put three of us in one division, in a seven-man division, and yourself
yes.
with four listeners in the
Not
in
on
the
purpose. Not
what
on
a,
purpose. I always
what a
split
curious
it.
Outcome.
I always split it, two analysts in each division, but oops, I messed that up. I might just have to get rid of divisions in that league. But, yeah, that was kind of stupid. All right, Bryce Harper, guys. Number two hitter, number two fantasy player, like, over rest of season behind Mike Trout?
I don't have it ranked that way, but yeah. Sure.
He's definitely in that mix when he wasn't before the season.
Would
if
you rather
go back over a stretch where just nobody throws Bryce Harper strikes for a month again? And we'll see how he reacts to that this time.
Yeah. Because Harper had a .266 batting average with 10 home runs. Like, he's batting .404 right now. But he had 10 home runs, 6 doubles, and a .1021 OPS in his first 27 games last year. Then he faced the Cubs. They walked him 13 times in 4 games. 13 times in 4 games, and Harper hit .238 with a .395 slugging percentage the rest of the season. But also, we know he was playing through a shoulder injury. So, like, if I offered you bets for Harper, what would you do?
I'd still probably take it.
Take bets.
Yeah, I would pass. Like, there's just no point in making that trade.
He would literally pass. Like, he would not respond or acknowledge that he got the offer
yeah.
or decline it. It would just leave it there until hopefully Bryce Harper got hurt and then accept it real quick.
Yeah.
Is Jay Bruce a sell-high candidate?
Definitely.
If you can get somebody to buy into it, yeah.
What would you get? What would you try to get for him?
I would trade Jay Bruce for Jose Bautista.
Would you trade Jay Bruce for Jonathan VR?
Yep. And I don't even like Jonathan VR that
yeah,
much.
I would.
All right, three up. Mitch Haniger. Is he just going to be really awesome? Or is he still a good sell-high candidate?
We have to get through the end of April before I'm going to decide that Mitch Haniger is just going to be really awesome. I would, if I could sell Mitch Haniger high, I would also trade him for Jose Bautista.
Sure.
When I called Mitch Haniger the ultimate sell high candidate, my inspiration for that was Aledmys Diaz.
I thought maybe your inspiration was me saying that about Melvin Gordon last year.
No. No, I hope it goes a little bit better than that. My inspiration for that was Aledmys Diaz last year. I'm trying to find the stat, but Diaz got off to just an amazing start. And then the rest of the season, he was good, which is what I think Haniger will be. But he didn't really come close to, you know, he didn't approximate what, I'm trying to find the damn stats. He didn't come close to doing what he did at the first, like, month of the season. So that's just kind of how I feel about Haniger.
It's worth noting with Mitch Haniger that the average exit velocity for Major League Baseball is 87.6 miles per hour, and for Mitch Haniger is 85.3. So not necessarily hitting the ball as hard as he seems to have been.
Who would you rather have, Jay Bruce or Mitch Haniger?
Mitch Haniger.
Yeah, Haniger.
Okay. Jay Bruce was an all-star last year, I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
You know, just saying.
And he's another guy that could have been included in that launch angle report. He's someone who said he was consciously trying to hit more fly balls. He talked to Joey Votto about his approach at the plate. So, you know, that's the kind of narrative people like. talking to a good hitter.
Yeah. Good stuff. Travis Shaw, 65% owned. I just think it's encouraging, Heath, that he slumped a little bit. And now Shaw homered yesterday. I think he homered in, what, two straight games? Double? I don't know. He's hopefully coming out of it after a nine-game stretch of batting 147. He has two homers and two doubles in his last two games.
And I could make the argument that Travis Shaw has even been a little bit unlucky in regards to his .237 batting average. But there are signs that are encouraging and signs that are a little bit questionable. Shaw has sliced his strikeout rate early in the year. If he strikes out less than 20% of the time, I'd be very pleased with that. He's hitting .237 because he has a .233 BABIP, and he's a .295 BABIP guy over his career, so I'm not as worried about the batting average. But he is not hitting very many fly balls at all, and he's got a 55% ground ball rate, and that's not great.
I mean, that he's a hitter with some talents who's ultimately flawed. So that's right. What you would expect. Like, he's got some good things about his profile. He's got some bad things about his profile. He's not a great hitter.
But one of the reasons I thought Shaw and Miller Park was such a big deal is because he'd been a 43% fly ball rate guy. And generally, if you hit that many fly balls in Miller Park, you hit a lot of home runs. He's hit a lot of doubles instead.
Last guy I want to talk about is Kevin Pillar. Kevin Pillar is 20% owned. He went 3-for-4 with two steals yesterday, his first two steals of the season. But he's batting leadoff for the worst lineup in baseball, Toronto. And I just think maybe if you're a Marte owner and everybody that we said yesterday is already owned, maybe you can look for Kevin Pillar.
I don't think that's all.
Yeah. Seven-man rotation. A lot of guys pitched yesterday that were fantasy relevant. Clayton Kershaw was awesome. Zach Greinke was great at San Diego. He's only had like one bad start. That was at the Dodgers. Rick Porcello gave up 3 unearned runs in 7 innings, so he ended up with 7 innings, no earned runs, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts at the worst lineup in baseball, Toronto. Felix Hernandez. All right, we know Felix Hernandez isn't walking, guys. He has 1 walk, 20 strikeouts, and 24 and 2/3. He's given up 33 hits now in 24 and 2/3 after 12 hits yesterday. Tanaka had a nice start. It was predictable against the White Sox. Gerrit Cole, I would say, had his best start of the year with 8 strikeouts and 6 innings against St. Louis, although I think he hit 2 batters, so the whip was a little high. And Julio Teheran got destroyed by Washington. Anyone you want to highlight here with Kershaw, Greinke, Porcello, Felix, Tanaka, Cole, and Teheran?
Well, Felix Hernandez, I believe the Marlins in the first inning had 5 hits, 2 outs, and 2 runs scored by the time he reached his 13th pitch.
Wow.
So they clearly had a game plan of, we're going to jump on this guy early. He's throwing a lot more pitches inside of the strike zone than he has since very early on in his career. And I'm not necessarily sure that's a great thing for a guy with diminished stuff.
Right.
So it's interesting. His swing rate is way up. Batters are being more aggressive against him, and that would explain why his walk rate is down.
You got the win.
Well,
and he settled down a little bit after that first inning. I think they had 6 hits off him in the first.
Okay, and 6 more throughout the rest of the game. Let's rank these guys, okay? We got Kershaw 1, but after that, you know, who's 2? Greinke, Porcello, Felix, Tanaka, Gerrit Cole, and Teheran.
Probably, I would say Cole's probably 2nd for me.
I've got Greinke and Cole back-to-back in my rankings. I could listen to an argument for either one of them. For me, I'll go Tanaka next, who actually is right after Cole, and then Felix.
Greinke's a tough one for me. Greinke, you know, I just don't know. I don't know. I don't trust him.
That's fair. I mean, you could
have a reason to not trust most of the guys on this.
Yeah, I don't know how fair it is to specifically point out that you don't trust Zach Greinke, because he was bad last year, but before that he'd been uniformly great. Whereas like Rick Porcello had been uniformly bad.
Oh, I don't trust Porcello. Okay. I don't trust him. No,
that's all I wanted to hear.
No, I
do you trust Tanaka?
I do trust Tanaka. I don't know that he has the upside of. Well, I don't think this list is like full of upside. So I actually think Tanaka might be 2 for me on this list, because I think he's the safest. He's one after Kershaw. Like, between Greinke, Porcello, Felix, Tanaka, Cole, and Teran, all the troubles that Tanaka had, I thought were control related, and he's just such a good control pitcher. So I feel like he's the safest and a very reliable low end number two, high end number three starting pitcher. But I would take Keuchel over him. So there's.
Yeah,
that.
I've got Keuchel behind my top four in this list.
This is honestly like, this is a collection of pitchers that I, other than Gerrit Cole, that I just did not want to draft. Greinke, Porcello, Felix, Tanaka, and Teran. Teran, yeah. Like, Teran had like two good months last year. They were great, but he also had a lot of bad last year. He's walking a lot of guys.
They were all fairly expensive pitchers who probably didn't have ace upside. That's. Yeah, I don't think I own a single one of these except for Gerrit Cole because I traded for him.
But we thought that Cole had some eights upside, right? Because Cole was the number eight starting pitcher in 2015.
I think he has ace upside. I don't believe he's as likely to reach it as most pitchers with ace upside, but he does have ace upside.
Yeah, and that's I traded Dylan Bundy for him in one of the leagues that we're playing in, and
I
feel okay about that.
All right, fringy starting pitchers, Vince Velasquez, Francisco Liriano, Robert Gazelman, Joe Ross, Jordan Zimmermann, and Jason Vargas. Who are your two favorites? Velasquez, Liriano, Gazelman, Joe Ross, Zimmermann, and Jason Vargas.
Ross and Liriano for me, I think.
I'd go Ross and Velasquez. Ross, I didn't even realize it. Scott and I wrote about Ross in Waiver Wire on back-to-back days, but he needs to be 100% owned.
Yeah, I have a half-finished draft in our content management system with the headline, Don't Forget About Joe Ross, that I just couldn't get to finish last night.
It's too bad. We could have had three pieces on him in 2 days.
Really glad he pitched well so that piece wasn't wasted, even though nobody got to see it.
Yeah, I wish I would seen a. I know it was a good start for Gazelman. It was 7 innings and 2 runs. And then he led a batter on, and the leadoff hitter got on in the eighth. He got lifted, ended up going 7-plus innings and gave up 3 runs. That run came around to score. I wish it had been a little bit better for him against the Phillies, who I could consider garbage.
Jordan Zimmermann is DTM.
Yeah, but if you're wondering why I say Jordan Zimmermann in his name weird, it's because he has 2 N's at the end of his name, which just crazy.
But I thought it wasn't a fantastic start for Robert Gazelman. But I liked the way he was pitching, even though he hadn't had good results in the first couple of starts. So this was a nice thing to see. He didn't get a lot of swinging strikes yesterday. He actually didn't throw his slider much. So that's not what I want to see. I think he needs to throw his slider more than he did. I think he only threw it like 8 times yesterday. But this was definitely a relieving start for Robert Gazelman for me.
Gazelman.
Gazelman.
Gazelman, yeah. Hard G. In the bullpen, Trevor Rosenthal is amazing. Francisco Rodriguez isn't. Neftali Feliz, $3. $3 Neftali Feliz owes me money now. And he was terrible yesterday. But he did pitch. He got an out in the eighth, and then he came on to pitch the ninth, and he gave up a walk-off homer to Addison Russell. And A.J. Ramos struggled yesterday with 3 walks in a non-save situation. 6 walks and 6 innings this year for Ramos. Should we be bear-clawing it or Zieglering it right now?
I mean, I can't imagine the Marlins have seen A.J. Ramos walk 6 guys in 6 innings and been totally shocked.
Right.
This is who he is.
Yeah, the answer is no. Sometimes I ask questions just
not
to
yet.
Get no's. Yeah. And in deep leagues, any interest in Yolish Chacin, who has had 2 good starts at home, pitches for San Diego, or Jesse Hahn?
No.
Chacin in a 2-start week with good matchups could be somebody you stream, but as
quote Al, or our good friend Al, you lease Chacin, you don't buy him.
There you go. And what would Al say about Jesse Hahn? He'd say...
He pitches. He's a pitcher.
He'd say, going Hahn off my roster. Now, he'd do better than that.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, he's more clever than you.
Let's do buy or sell part 2 from the... is he? Because I'm pretty sure he's never been in a league with 5 owners in one division. And
that
seven
is
in
pretty
the
clever.
Other.
That was very, very clever.
Buy or sell part 2 from Mackenzie Fleming. Anthony Rizzo ends up as the number 1 second baseman in fantasy.
I'll sell, but it's I'll sell partially because I think Jose Altuve is still better than him, and partially because there's no guarantee he gets second base.
So,
Rudy Hessman, buy or sell. Kenta Maeda rights the ship and remains a top 30 starting pitcher.
Buy.
Buy.
Oh, okay. Tim Ackery, buy or sell. Justin Upton will be owned in fewer than 60% of leagues by season's end.
He will be owned in fewer than 60% of leagues at some point this season because I feel like it happens every year with Justin Upton.
So.
It could be a big mistake, though. Last year he got dropped. I picked him up, and he finished really strong. So that's just who Justin Upton is. It has been that way for a while. Jimmy S., buy or sell. Addison Russell finishes ahead of Carlos Correa this year.
Sell.
I'll sell.
Yeah, that's the selliest one yet, I think. And Sam Chilcutt, buy or sell. Francisco Lindor finishes one or two in the shortstop rankings this year.
Sell.
Whew. Buy. The way he's playing right now, the way the rest of the shortstops are, he's got a good head start.
I expect to see Francisco Lindor ahead of Carlos Correa in your trade chart.
Well, listen, wait. You used to say top two. Don't forget about Machado. It's the Machado and Seager.
And Corey Seager does exist as well.
Yeah, but I know.
Seager and Correa are both off to not super great starts. He's got a nice lead. I'm not saying he'll be better than them moving forward, but 10% of the season's gone.
Adam, do we have a second for some quick pop culture trivia?
Of course. Then I'm going to try to read emails.
Today in 1994, one of the ballads of a coming of age tune for me was released.
1994?
94.
Tub Thumper?
No.
Oh my God, I was playing Rock Band last weekend and we did Tub Thumper. It's fantastic.
Is it Tub Thumping or Tub Thumper?
If I give you the name of the group,
Chumbawamba.
Do you think you can get the song?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Bone Thugs and Harmony?
Oh, Crossroads.
Nope.
Paper?
Nope.
They sing that song?
Paper? It's the thuggish, ruggish bone.
I don't know what that is.
What?
Yeah, I don't know that one.
You guys are terrible.
Who sings a song that goes, better get your paper, 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 paper? Is that Bone Thugs?
I have no idea.
I think it is. Yeah, it's called Resurrection.
Mission accomplished with this trivia question.
Good for you. That is really pathetic. There's so much better 90s music than that. I cannot even believe you just went Bone Thugs on us, but you did. All right, emails from Nick. Dear Jake, Terry, Charles, and Raymond.
Is that? I think that's Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Ah, funny show.
Great show.
12-team Roto League with weekly lineups. I hear you talk about targeting 2-star pitchers off the wire every week. Is that really just for points leagues, or should I do that in Roto as well?
It's much riskier in Roto because you're risking. These are guys who generally you don't expect big things from. You're just hoping you get a good start or two out of them, and they can really screw up your ratios.
Yes. I think you can kind of look at where you're at in the standings. It's not this early in the year, but you get to May and June, and if you are doing much better in WHIP and ERA than you are in wins and Ks, then you have to start considering it.
Sure.
Yeah, like a guy like Hyunjin Ryu has good matchups at San Francisco and home against Philadelphia next week. Like, there's no way I'm risking Ryu in a Roto league. But in a points league, maybe I would. Maybe. Okay, next email is from Blake in Santa Barbara. Dear David, Steven, Graham, and Neil.
Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young.
Yes, sir. No, actually, those are the four members of Bone Thugs and Harmony. Actually, yeah.
Obviously.
Do you think Brandon Kinstler is good? Will he hold his job and do okay?
No, yes, no to yes.
Yeah, I guess he'll probably hold his job.
He'll do okay.
This is from Kevin in Syracuse. Hello, Kurt, Christ, and Dave.
Nirvana.
Yeah, you're on fire, Chris Towers.
These are in my wheelhouse.
10-team categories league. Which are the actually, no, that is not Nirvana. That is actually the three other members of Bone Thugs and Harmony. My bad.
Oh, they have seven.
Yeah. There's a lot of harmony. 10-team categories league. Which of the following do you like to continue their strong start, and which would you try to trade now while they still have some value? Irvin Santana, James Paxton, Jason Vargas, Matt Harvey.
I would like to sell high on all three except for, or all three who are not James Paxton. Can we edit that so I don't sound like an idiot?
No.
Why?
He doesn't have that much time.
No, why would we do that? I like it. It made perfect sense. There was nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, I believe James Paxton will not have a zero ERA for the season, but I think he will be one of the 18 best starting pitchers in fantasy baseball.
Okay, and yeah, Irvin Santana and Vargas, I think, are obvious sell highs.
Yeah.
Harvey could be some
much more controversial.
Right, yeah. That's it for today's show.
What? When is your bias against Poplar Bluff, Missouri going to end?
Who's from Poplar Bluff, Missouri?
Our good friend Damon Davis.
Who's that?
He emails us all the time, and you never respond to his emails.
That's
dear
the guy.
Roscoe, Luke, Jesse, and Bo.
Who is it, Chris?
That's not.
You don't know who that is?
Roscoe,
Luke, is that, Jesse, and Bo.
Is that Bone Thugs?
No.
That's
the Dukes of Hazzard.
Okay. Yeah, I never watched Dukes.
You're
of
so old, Heath.
10-team Roto League. Give Braun, Yasmani Tomas, Kinsler, Git Cruz, and D. Gordon.
Braun, Tomas, and Kinsler for Cruz and D. Gordon. I like that.
Yeah, I think that's
solid
a
B.
It's a B, yeah.
Good job, Damon, and thanks for emailing.
That reminds me, tomorrow I'll make an announcement about emails. And we'll talk to you then on Friday's show. Have a great Thursday, everybody. See you.